This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello and welcome to The Price of Football, the show that looks at the money behind the beautiful game with me, Kevin Day, and Liverpool University's Kieran Maguire. Kieran, how are you this happy morning? No reply, because Kieran's not here. It turns out there just aren't enough hours in the day for Kieran to fit everything in. Either that or the Baroness has put her foot down. What Kieran really needs is that little gadget gizmo thing that Hermione has in Harry Potter, where she can literally do a share and turn back time, and then he could fit these interviews in. But he's got his day job plus his media commitments, so he's not here. So today is a special interview pod, and it's just me doing the interviewing. We promised you an update on everything that's happening at Torquay United, and we wanted to get a Torquay United fan's perspective rather than somebody who's decided to sell the club for no apparent reason. So I spoke to Robin Causley, who's the vice chair and the longest serving board member of the Torquay United Supporters Trust. And this is what he had to say. Robin, thank you so much for joining us. Unfortunately, like many people we interview, I really wish we weren't having to interview you. But before we get into what's happening with your club, just tell us a little bit about yourself, how you became a Torquay fan, and how you got involved with the Supporters Trust.
Okay, so my birthday coming the end of March, and I will be celebrating my 60th year of supporting the club. So my dad sort of took me around my birthday time. So very long standing supporter, and my father was a supporter before me. He supported them sort of just after the war, and one of my sons is a keen supporter as well, so we've got three generations currently who in the past have supported the club. Lifelong supporter then, season ticket holder. I became vice chair of the trust about 11, 12 years ago now. And the reason that I was invited to do that was because of my community links. I worked in community development and working in supporting voluntary sector organisations with funding advice. And our chairman was very keen to get our trust very involved in the community and building those links.
And just for our very many overseas listeners, Robin, can you tell us a little bit about the club, the history of the club, and about the area where you are?
Yeah, so Torbay is the area in which Torquay is situated. Torquay's biggest town, the best known town, but there's also Paignton and Brixham, from where our support comes from. And that's a population of circa 140,000, so not a smaller area. Does rely an awful lot on tourism, which has, you know, been declining in this country for a number of years. And so it's got all the attendant problems around low wages, the economy being very much based around tourism and the declining industry and struggling like a lot of seaside resorts. Nonetheless, still a very popular destination, a very well-known destination, popular, but just very weather-dependent. And struggling post-COVID to get people back, I think, to come and stay. But still, English Riviera, everybody loves it, including football fans. It's one of their favourite destinations from an away trip.
I remember going to Brixham as a five-year-old, little South Londoner on a school journey. It was the first time I'd been out of London. It was amazing. And wow. just briefly tell us as well what league you're in at the moment and what your sort of average home attendance would be.
So we're in the National League South, unfortunately. we got 3,700 on Saturday in response to the crisis that we were in. But we've been averaging around 2,200, 2,300. So other than Yeovil, we get the best attendances in the league.
Well, let's talk about the crisis, Robin. Owner Clark Osborne announced last week that he could no longer fund the club. Was that a surprise or did you see it coming?
We saw it coming. It was still a bit of a surprise in terms of the fact that just recently we've been hearing some quite positive messages emanating from the owner, but he had been conducting new discussions with the council around the building the new stadium, and at a fans forum, which was an online fans forum, at which the owner was present. He sounded quite upbeat about the future and still wanting to build the stadium, which he promised he would deliver, and reiterating his commitment to the club for the future and not necessarily wanting to get his money back. So all of that looked reasonably positive. I think quite a few fans felt a little bit sceptical about it, but nonetheless, given that ambition for a new stadium, being pivotal to his plans and his ambitions to do it, it was a bit of a shock. But he suddenly decided those plans weren't going to progress.
Talking about the stadium, Robin, I understand there was some initial opposition from Torquay fans, some reluctance when he first started talking about moving out of town. Is that not the case now? And is it something that you feel had to happen?
It's more around scepticism because he's never actually built a stadium before. And he's had, in fact, didn't have a good record, in fact, of, effectively closing down Easeville, Bristol Rovers becoming homeless as a consequence. And his involvement with Speedway and Greyhound operations and stadiums. He's talked a lot about building new stadiums on the existing sites or moving them. In the latest case was Swindon Speedway, talking about a motorsport arena some 45 miles away from Swindon. So I think there's a lot of scepticism about whether he could deliver. But I don't think Torquay United fans were necessarily wholly against the building the new stadium if a suitable venue could be found, because the owner's proposition was we needed a 7-day week income generating operation to make the club sustainable, and Playmore was quite limited in that respect. And so he was talking about conference facilities and restaurants, multi-arena facilities. So it was ambitious and we were sceptical, but we wouldn't say that the majority of fans are necessarily against it. It was just how realistic it was, really, particularly in the current environment.
What was the attitude of the local council to all that? Because presumably Playmore would have been sold off for housing purposes.
No, the council were adamant that unless a stadium was actually built, there was no way they were going to relinquish their ownership of the council-owned. There was a long lease on it, there's covenants on it, and they were adamant that no relinquishing the ownership of that stadium unless a new stadium was built, and they've been steadfast on that. But they were encouraging Clark Osborne to find the stadium, were helping him do that. One venue was identified. There were quite a lot of problems around that, but I think if Clark Osborne had come up with a proper, robust proposition, back with a business plan and clear indication of the funding in place, then the council would have supported it, but that wasn't the case.
So just to be clear, Robin, because I really want to understand this, because in my research, I couldn't fully get to the bottom of it. So the ground is owned partly by the council or wholly?
It's owned fully by the council, and the club rent it on a long lease.
Okay, that makes sense.
And a relatively low rent.
Right, yeah. Okay. Is the club actually in administration yet?
Not yet, no. At the moment, Clark Osborne has said he's not continuing to put money into the club. He's relinquished his chairmanship, but is inviting any interested parties to contact the club with a view to buying it off him.
In general, what's the relationship been like between Mr. Osborne and the Supporters Trust?
It has become very fractured. It's never been great because the club hasn't been great at communication, to say the least. We hardly ever heard from Clark Osborne. He didn't attend matches. All the business, day-to-day business and communication was done by his chief executive officer, George Edwards, but he wasn't at all friendly towards the trust. And tried to set up regular meetings, tried to engage, tried to get them involved more in terms of communicating with the fans, with the fans forum, that kind of thing. But it's only just recently, with a lot of pressure being put on Clark Osborne and George Edwards, and the anger about what was happening on the pitch, that the club has, you know, started to open up lines of communication and show some signs of improving relationships with the club. It has become very fractured, undoubtedly.
Do you know much about Mr. Osborne's business background before he took over the club? When did he take over the club?
2016, yeah. Right. So Gaming International is involved in a range of activities, but a lot of it is around the sort of speedway, motorsport, greyhound racing, that kind of stuff. And it appears to be quite a wealthy man. And George Edwards, his CEO, also works on the various projects around those stadium development plans, etc. So there's a lot of business interest, but we don't know a huge amount about the profitability of these things. But usually with the stadium development, there's housing involved. So yeah. Enabling, usually some sort of enabling legislation is around to enable him to build houses and then generate the sort of money that would generate a profit for his company. Mm.
What's been the reaction in the town, Robin, and how have fans of other clubs responded?
They're very worried. They're very concerned, if not surprised. I think a lot of the fans have seen it coming. The response has been very, very good. As I say, we have a very large gate, though it's officially announced as about 3,700. Lots of people bought ghost tickets, so we didn't actually attend. So we've got lots of exiles around the country in further afield. They were spending money on merchandise and on buying tickets, even though they couldn't be there. The club is doing a fundraising appeal, as is the trust, and that's bringing in quite a lot of money. The local authorities responded, the MPs responded, and they're all very, very keen to encourage buyers to come in who are interested. If they're seriously interested in football and interested in preserving Torquay United as a football club, to get in contact with them. And as I understand it, there's been quite a decent level of interest, which is encouraging. But the fans are certainly rallying around, as has the football community, which other trusts have been helping us. Weymouth, particularly, we're very pleased with their offer. So we're playing away to them on Saturday, and they're offering to donate £5 of every adult ticket sold to the Supporters Trust, which is a great gesture.
Yeah, I was particularly heartened to see that from Weymouth, especially as the money's been offered to the Supporters Trust and not to the club.
Yeah,
which shows an understanding of where the problem is.
Yeah. They've been in a difficult situation themselves, yeah. And obviously, you know, we've got that affinity with being another seaside town. They may very much value the support that Torquay bring to their club. So, you know, we've got good away attendances, and we'll probably have a bigger away attendance there now on Saturday, especially in the light of this, you know, this generous offer.
Mm. You talk of interest in the club that you've heard of. Firstly, what's the asking price? What's Mr. Osborne wanting for the club? And do you know of any specific...
So we're looking at loans of around circa 5 to 6 million that he's put into the club. All the indications are that, you know, he's not expecting to get much of that back, if any of it. I think he's very keen to get a quick acquisition and to get somebody in that's going to take on the club fairly quickly and without necessarily getting a return on his investment. Mm.
Do you know of any specific potential bidders?
One or two have been in contact confidentially with us, and we know others have been in contact directly with the club. So the administrators in situ, as it were, are encouraging any potential serious interested bidders to get in contact with us to have some discussions around, you know, our potential involvement as well. So that's encouraging.
And has there been any talk of a fan ownership bid?
Well, I think that's one thing. I mean, one thing that we've been looking at is obviously we don't know the exact details of the finances other than the club, you know, are in immediately asking for as much money supporters as possible to pay the wages of the players next month. So we know that there's an immediate cash flow issue. But in terms of the exact financial state of the club and its ongoing costs, in terms of running the club, we believe we're looking at around 1.5 million per annum, you know, to stand still maybe, just to keep the club going, operating at its current level. Obviously, you know, that can be reduced or increased depending on the ambition and the plan going forward. But we're, you know, we're currently a full-time professional club with quite a number of employees other than players. We've got quite a good infrastructure, so it's not going to be the feasibility of us running it is something we're looking at, but those sorts of costs would be prohibitive for us, certainly. Mm.
But you'd certainly be interested in an owner that wanted the involvement of the supporters.
Absolutely. We'd want them to engage with us and talk about it and see how we can work with them to move forward with the club and get away from this situation we've currently got, where we're, you know, fans are being ignored, you know, lack of transparency, not much going on in relation to work in the community, although it has improved recently. And all these things, we know we could be the added value to the club, and we're, you know, we're there offering that help and support going forward to any new owner.
There's two things I want to clarify, Robin, if I can, about the financial situation. Do you think, first of all, that the fact that you are a fully full-time squad at a relatively low level, if you don't mind me saying so, is part of the problem? Because that's a big chunk of cash there, having a full-time squad, isn't it?
Is, but it worked last time. So the last time we got relegated, got us back up straight away, and it definitely made a difference, because I think we were fitter and stronger, and we had better players, quite honestly, who were able to you know, beat some of the smaller teams, those that were part time, which was the vast majority of them. You know, it worked. So last time we got back up, I think we had a, you know, wouldn't say easy the first part of the season until Gary came in, but he turned it around and transformed the club on the pitch. So we were 10 points clear in the end. So I'm guessing people thought that would work again. All the indications were that, you know, Gary was ambitious to get us back up again. We were a bit unlucky to get relegated. We had a good run towards the end of the season. And it looked like he had, you know, a nucleus of the squad that could get us straight back up. So it made sense, and the fans backed the idea of retaining a full-time squad. But it's all gone pretty much disastrously wrong in terms of on the field. So it's not proved that having a full-time squad has been an advantage this time round, and I don't quite know why that's happened. But it's a shame. And Yeovil, of course, they're also full-time, and, you know, they're running away with it. Mm.
I'm Steve Lamack, and every week I'm joined by Music Allies Head of Insight, Stuart Dredge, on The Price of Music, the weekly podcast all about the money behind the music industry. In each episode, we discuss the very latest goings on in the music business and dig into the finances behind the big stories.
So whether you're a music lover who just wants to know more about what really goes on in the industry, or you're an aspiring musician, manager or label owner who wants some inside knowledge on how Spotify's financial model really works, or what the future holds for independent live music venues, this is a show for you.
Subscribe to The Price of Music in your podcast app now. See you soon.
I've got one final question for you. Palace have been through administration twice, and I remember the distress and the despair both times. And I'm of an age, you know, I grew up where Torquay United were always in the league. I used to love the yellow and blue striped shirts. You know, I've got a reason to love and hate just about every team in English football, Robin. So I really do feel for you. And I hate to ask this question, but is your instinct that the club will be saved, or is your instinct that this is a genuine problem moment?
I was very worried when the announcement was made. I wondered just how much an attractive proposition Torquay United would be, particularly with the loans set against the club, particularly where we were in the league. But we've been encouraged by the level of interest. I think the club's been marketing itself quite well since the announcement. It's certainly been putting it out there, using every possible contact. The local authorities being very supportive, as is our MP. I'm reasonably confident that somebody will come in. Obviously, we need a real football person this time. We don't want to go down the same road as we have with Clark Osborne. Somebody that's really interested in the club, is aspirational, realistic at the same time, and can move us forward and learn the lessons of the current ownership and where it's all gone wrong, really.
And on an upbeat note, the lovely Charlie Baker of TalkSport, as an old mate of mine, is a Torquay fan, and I really feel for him at the moment. If perhaps he wants to organise some kind of benefit, I'd only be too happy to appear. I'm sure we could get some
money.
I'm sure we could get some money raised for the trust in that way. Robin, our fingers are crossed for all of you down there. It's as I say, I wish we didn't have to have this conversation, and I hope that in a few weeks' time we can talk again with much better news. But in the meantime, if there's anything we can do at The Price of Football, then just let us know and we'll do it.
Appreciate that. Thanks so much.
Kieran was here, I'd be talking about the fact that Robin went through a full gamut of emotions during that chat, and hopefully was more optimistic at the end than he was halfway through. And as I said, we send the best wishes of every football fan in the country. Well done to Weymouth for that brilliant gesture. Hopefully more clubs will do the same. And hopefully, as I said to Robin, we'll be back shortly to talk to Robin about some good news, because a very dear mate of mine, Charlie Baker, is a Torquay fan. As I said to Robin, I've got reasons to hate and love every single football club in the country. But when it comes to issues like this, love is the only word you can use, isn't it? So fingers crossed to everybody at Torquay United. And thanks to everyone who's donated to the pod via our Patreon page. If you'd like to make a small monthly contribution to the pod as well, that'd be very kind of you, and it'll get you access to our chat community and our regular quizzes, and it'll get you access to some news that we have coming up in a week or two, which is quite exciting. And you can get all that by going to patreon.com/priceoffootball. If you have a question you'd like answered on our regular Monday questions pod, email us at questions@priceoffootball.com. And if you'd like to buy our latest book, get us our latest book, or get yourself a Price of Football t-shirt, you can find details on our website, priceoffootball.com. Bye, everyone.
The Price of Football. The Price of Football.